pumping wastewater on burning tires, live fire from snipers and tanks, tear gas. Arabic ads discouraging women from coming out, telling them that their place is in the home. These are the tactics used by the Israeli occupation against a grassroots, nonpartisan, peaceful movement of Palestinians trying to bring attention to the dire conditions in the Gaza Strip, as well as the Palestinian right of return. Israel remains unapologetic about the loss of innocent life, while the United Nations and other NGOs warn it is breaking all sorts of international laws. Join me, Waqar Azouz, to discuss the ongoing Palestinian Great March of Return.
Thousands of Palestinians took part in another anti-Israel protest along the so-called buffer zone between the Gaza Strip and the occupied territories. The protest was part of a rally dubbed the Great Return March, which started last Friday and would last for another 5 weeks. Last week, Israeli snipers opened fire on peaceful protesters, killing 17 Palestinians and injuring many others. This Friday, dubbed the Friday of Tires, protesters burned tires close to the border fence in an attempt to block the vision of the snipers who have been authorized by Tel Aviv to shoot with no inhibition.
Our message to the world is that we Palestinians have been driven out of our land and have been killed and forced to leave. Yet this uprising is melting all political differences between us and bringing us together. We shall return to our land despite all the obstacles, injuries and the killing of our people.
Israeli forces once again opened fire on the peaceful protesters and used tear gas to disperse them, causing more casualties.
We came last Friday for our right to return. We came again this Friday to prove to Israel that even if there are people who were killed or injured, we will not be afraid and we will protest until our land is freed. I will come till May 15th without any fear of being killed or injured.
Israel's killing of peaceful protesters last week drew widespread criticism. However, the regime continues its deadly crackdown regardless of international outrage.
We came here without weapons, although we have weapons. We came here in peace without rockets, although we have rockets, to let everyone know that we will never give up on our lands.
Human rights organizations say approaching the fence is not an offense, punishable by death or serious injury. Despite Israel's use of violence, Palestinians are determined to continue their protests against the massive confiscation of their land. They also call on the international community to take action against the atrocities committed by the Israeli forces. Hala Safadi, Press TV, Gaza.
Our guests for tonight's debate are Professor of Political Science at Beer Zayt University, Professor Saeed Nimet, who is joining us live from Ramallah. And we're also joined by the Mideast Director of the World Policy Institute, Dr. Alan Ben-Mir, who is joining us live from New York. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us. Dr. Ben-Mir, I'll start with you if I can. Israel, even before this march had begun, portrayed it as a Hamas provocation, while the organizers have stressed, and I'm quoting one of them now, that this march was organized by a grassroots, essentially refugees, doctors, lawyers, university students and others, and that this was not organized in any partisan fashion. What do you make of that?
Well, honestly, I do not think that who organized the march or who didn't. We have to really talk about the root causes here. And the root causes, as far as I see it, is the leadership on both sides. I think the Netanyahu government is very wrong in thinking and believing that the blockade can continue indefinitely. And I think the Hamas leadership is extremely wrong by thinking that they can claim the right of return or remove the blockade while they continue to threaten Israel's very existence. So you have both side leaders who do not care as much about the people but their own position, and they are themselves, as a matter of fact, and from my perspective, making situation worse than it is already.
All right, Professor Nibber, what do you make of that?
Well, I am saying. Is it me or the
as a matter of fact, we think that. Yes, sorry. As a matter of fact, we think that it's not the issue of Hamas or the issue of the anything. We have to understand that we are people under the occupation for the last 50 years, and Israel had kicked out 750,000 Palestinians in 1948, 70 years ago. It's also for the Palestinians who are now, we are talking about more than 5.4 million Palestinian refugees all over in West Bank, Gaza, and in the neighboring Arab countries. They have the right to return, which is supported by the Resolution 194 of the United Nations, and they are trying to practice this kind of right. On the light of the attempts of Trump to abolish the issue of Palestinian refugees by reducing the participation of America in the budget of the UNRWA, and claiming many times that we should also end this file of Palestinian refugees. So in reaction to that, definitely Palestinians are going to say no, the right of return is something sacred for the Palestinians. And this is something very important for us, because we were kicked out and we've been living for the last 70 years in a misery because of this atrocities by Israel. And it's about time to put things in the right perspective.
Dr. Ben-Meir, do you agree that Palestinians have the right of return?
Absolutely not. You know, they can continue to talk about the right of return for the next 70 years. We've got to be practical, and I mean absolutely practical. There will not be right of return, because that will obliterate Israel as we know it. We've got to be practical in a sense, what do we do with the current reality in order to establish two state, an Israeli-Palestinian state? That's what we aim for. And if you want to establish a Palestinian state, you have to forget about the right of return, you have to forget about violence, and sit down and talk in practical terms, in terms what is going to take. So if they are not getting to the point where they recognize the reality on the ground, they can continue to make this claim for another seven decades and nothing will change. So I absolutely believe in the right of the Palestinian to establish a state of their own. But that is not going to be done on the basis of the right of return, because that simply is not going to happen. And as long as they continue to make this claim, they will continue to suffer, they will continue to experience the horrible condition in Gaza and elsewhere. This we have to keep in mind. Singing the song of 70 years ago is not going to get the Palestinians where they want to be.
Professor Nimmer, what do you make of that? Do you think it's time to move on for the Palestinians from the right of return?
Absolutely not, because what your guest is talking about is absolutely getting lots of things which is not true or not right. First of all, he talked about the two-state solution and we should forget about the Palestinian return. Where is the two-state solution? What happened to the two-state solution? Is there really a two-state solution today? Is it possible after the Israeli implemented 700,000 settlers inside the West Bank and Jerusalem? Is there really a leader in Israel willing to negotiate over the settlements and over Jerusalem and over the borders? I don't think so. I think that the two-state solution has gone totally. And let me ask your guest as well, how much do you sell your home country? For how much? If you are talking about, you know, 5.4 million refugees should forget about their right of return and should be compensated according to some of the accounts, how much should they sell their home country? For how much? This is absolutely absurd. In addition to that, last point, that even if there is an atrocity happened to the Palestinians, it doesn't mean that they should forget that. What started as a wrong from the very beginning by establishing Israel, when they ethnically cleanse, this is a war crime, and they should be responsible for it and hold responsible for it. I don't care if you like that or not, but Palestinians have the right to return, and they shall return, inshallah, because this is their right, and this right is individual as much as it is a collective one.
Go ahead, Dr. Ben-Meir. Go ahead and respond. Go ahead.
You know, you can revel with these illusions for as far as long as you want. And I deal with conflict resolution. And when I look at this conflict, I look at it in terms of what are the real steps on the ground that can resolve this conflict. When you say there is no prospect for two solutions, I said to you, then what? Do you want only a Palestinian state and to kick the Israelis out of Palestine, out of Israel. You know you cannot do that. You know that Israel is a reality that you cannot budge, you cannot change. We've got to go back to the principle of two-state solution. I do not support the settlement enterprise. I do not support the Netanyahu policies. I still believe that the prospect of two-state solution is not dead, but what we need is different kind of leadership, both in Israel and among the Palestinians, for them to sit down and talk in realistic terms what is going to take. The Palestinians have the right, but you keep calling refugees. Let me explain to you something, the difference between refugees and internally displaced people. There are refugees in Gaza. Do you consider Gaza to be part of Palestine? There are refugees, so to speak, in the West Bank. Do you consider West Bank part of the Palestine? They are part of Palestine. So you cannot have refugees in your own country. They are internally displaced. And the solution to that is providing them with the funding to be able to resettle them, compensate them, new housing, new opportunities, new cities. That's what you're going to need. But when you have an organization like Hamas spending 50-60% of the money it received on tunnels, on buying military equipment, on rockets, that is not the solution, because Hamas or the Palestinian Authority or any power in the Middle East today can defeat Israel militarily. You've got to accept basic, simple facts on the ground. Otherwise, go on and continue with these illusions for another 7 years, and the Palestinian people are going to suffer because of the bankrupt leadership, both in Israel as well as among the Palestinians.
Professor Nimr, did you want to respond?
Yes, absolutely. Sir, we are not dreaming, absolutely not. But if you want to talk about the possibility of the politics and between the rights, no, I will stick to the rights. You are talking about the possibility to accept what is offered to us. As I said, I have to update your information. The two-state solution is absolutely dead because the Israeli had made it anyway. You don't agree with the settlements. Can you move them out? Can you move 700,000? Can Netanyahu or any other leader, even if he's the leftist leader in Israel, take a decision to say, I'm going to remove 700,000 settlers from the West Bank and from Jerusalem? I don't think so. I am realistic, well, and I'm saying that we are heading towards one-state solution rather than two-state solution. In this case, the issue of refugees will be solved, and the issue of Palestine will be solved, and all the Jews. I'm not going to kick out the Jews. I'm not going to kill them. No, we can live together in one state under one democratic, secular state together. We can live together. We can make our... It's not called Israel, maybe not called also Palestine. Doesn't matter. But at the same time, we are not going to give up on our rights, because these are our rights, and it's not possible and the reality that you are talking about. No, this is right, and we are not going to give up on
that. Dr. Ben-Meir, I wanted to ask you that, if you allow me, because, you know, if we look at the map, Dr. Ben-Meir, certainly it's very hard to imagine how any Israeli government, any Israeli leadership will be able to tell all those settlers, you need to go now from here. Nobody will really have that political courage, will they?
Yeah. You know, I think I should update your other guests also. In every negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians in 2000, at Camp David, in 2008 and 9, in 2013 and 14, the issue of the settlements were on the table. And as a matter of fact, Israel and the Palestinians agreed, I repeat, on land swap, so that the settlers scattered throughout the Middle East will be removed and settled on the settlements that are along the Israeli borders, to which the Palestinian Authority agreed to keep them there against land swap. This proposition is still on the table if you have the right leadership to come back to the negotiating table. But as I said before, neither side is willing today to sit down and make the kind of concessions necessary to reach that an agreement. So, and again, why not one-state solution? I can tell you very simply why. There is not a single Israeli Jew today who is going to accept one-state solution, for a simple reason. They fought, at least from their perspective, wrong or right, this is the reality, they fought for a Jewish state. If you have to have one single state, the Palestinian will have a majority overnight, which means the end of Israel as the Israelis know it. So again, you've got to wake up and realize we can engage in all kind of pipe dreams. If it were up to me, I would say, I'm wonderful. Let's have one state and everybody can live in peace and harmony. But that is the problem today. You are not going to find Israelis who are willing to accept this proposition, because 70 years of hatred, 70 years of wars and killing and destruction made it so that there is zero, I repeat, zero trust between the two sides. You're going to have to have a period of time of reconciliation, peace and reconciliation, to be able to, at least for the next generation, to come to the negotiating table and trusting one another. This is what's going to take. Otherwise, we keep talking about refugees, keep talking about one-state solution. That is not going to happen. And it's a time for the Palestinian leadership to recognize this bitter reality, and for the Israelis to recognize that the Palestinians are not going to go anywhere. This is also their land, and right. They have the right to a Palestinian state, and that must be the objective of both sides. Or else, 70 years from today, if we were alive, we're going to be talking about exactly the same thing.
Professor Nimr, how do you feel about that? Because, you know, even looking at the Palestinian leadership right now, Professor Nimr, it does seem weakened. The likes of Mahmoud Abbas do seem like a weak leader at this point in time. Do you think that that's an important factor in why people in Gaza chose to rise up themselves and to carry out this protest movement themselves without any party leading them?
Yes, absolutely. But let me first make a few comments. One of them, I would like to thank your guest, because he said that no Israeli is going to accept one state. Okay, so we have to take care of their emotions. We have to take care of their everything, thinking, because, you know, no Israeli should suffer, and they can't accept. But 5.4 million Palestinians should accept to be kicked out, and we should accept always we are under the pressure. Always the Palestinians are the side who are going to accept whatever they are. Anyway, regarding the one state, two state, let me go back on that point as well quickly to say that one state is coming. It's, and also we want peace, and also we want negotiation, because it's the reality. The new reality now is the one-state solution, especially that the Israelis are talking about annexing the West Bank, and especially 60% of the West Bank, which is C area, and we have no problem. Already in historical Palestine, today we are talking about Palestinians are outnumbering Jews in Palestine, historical Palestine. We are entering a new zone called apartheid zone. For the Israeli to accept or not to accept, we are going to negotiate. They have to negotiate in 10 to 15 years, not next 70 years. I promise you, there will be one state only for everyone to live peacefully. And that's because Israel is going to collapse, because what was built on wrong principles, it is a racist country, it's not going to continue. As for your question regarding the Palestinian Authority, well, the Palestinian Authority are trying to play in a different field. They are trying to go international, and they are trying to go in the diplomacy in general, and to the United Nations and other organizations, and try to play in that kind of field. Now, on the ground, it's not only Hamas or in Gaza. Let me tell you that all Palestinians everywhere, including the West Bank and even inside Israel itself, the Palestinians who are living there, they are all now standing for these kind of activities. For instance, when we are talking about, you know, what's going on in Gaza, today in West Bank, in Ramallah alone, there was 46 Palestinians injured by the Israeli soldiers in Ramallah. Apart from the other areas like Nabi Saleh, Al-Ma'asara, and Bal'in, and Na'lin, and Kfar Kaddoum, and all other areas where we have clashes, all over the West Bank right. as well. Maybe it's not in the same pitch like Gaza, but it's the Palestinian people are expressing their political stand clearly.
Dr. Ben-Meir, I wanted to, I'll give you a chance to respond, of course, but I wanted to add this on as well. The same question I put to Professor Nimr, that how important is it that this is grassroots, that this is the Palestinian peoples themselves coming out onto the streets? They're not led by either Fatah or Hamas in doing this. They're nonpartisan. This is grassroots. That's important, is it not?
Absolutely. You know what? If you follow my writings over the years, I was the one who is urging the Palestinians to come out in groves, in thousands, in millions, and demonstrate peacefully, because I am personally against, I repeat, against the occupation in any form. So I want your guests to understand that. But I'm also very practical in terms of what can and cannot be done. And this is where the problem is with the Palestinians. They never want to accept that the reality on the ground has changed. It cannot be restored the way it was 70 years ago. It's not going to happen. So what do? We look at the reality today and ask ourselves, what can be done in order to resolve this horrible, tragic conflict between Israelis and the Palestinians? Let me add a couple of notes. Look at Gaza today. Gaza, for all intent and purposes, as an independent, it could become a Palestinian state. The Hamas should be focusing on building schools, clinics, opportunities, shopping center, movies, instead of spending the money on tunnels and weapons. I repeat, I can tell you categorically that there are the majority of Israelis, I repeat, the majority of Israelis will demonstrate against their government if Hamas stop threatening Israel's very existence, and if Hamas continue to claim the right of return.
Dr. Ben-Meir, just because we're running out of time, I do apologize for interrupting, but I just wanted to, on that point you just made, don't the Palestinian peoples have a right to self-defense? Because, you know, they keep getting killed. You know, they're talking about the fact that they're protesting peacefully at the security fence. They're the ones getting killed.
Absolutely, they have the right to defend themselves. Absolutely. I condemn in the strongest terms the use of violence by either side, be that Israelis or Palestinian. I want to be very clear about this. So I'm not talking on behalf of the Israelis. I am talking on behalf of what's right for humanity, what's right for both sides. That's what we have to focus on. And as long as the argument is one-sided, we are not going to resolve this conflict, not now.
Okay, point taken, Dr. Meir. I do apologize. We only have a minute and a half, so I wanted to give the final word to Professor Nimr, if you allow me. Professor Nimr, go ahead with your final thoughts.
My final vote is, you know, stop talking about Hamas and remember that we are people under occupation. We have the right to struggle. We have the right to resist this occupation peacefully. Yes, I am with you. The first intifada and the second intifada and this last week and this week, what did the international community, even the Americans or anybody else, would say about that? Nothing, absolutely nothing. To the contrary, all the media in America was talking about clashes between the Palestinians and the Israelis, as if they are both equal. Look at the pictures and you can see that the Palestinians are unarmed and they've been killed by 100 snipers that the Israeli had put. This is the fact called occupation. The international community, the world in general, should stand against this because this is illegal, unethical to continue, and when we are talking about the 21st century and people are still under occupation. People should take a stand against this kind of menace country and its policies against Palestinian people who are unarmed.
Okay, we'll have to leave that as a final word, gentlemen. I do apologize, Dr. Ben-Meir. We will try to continue this at a later date as well, this conversation between the both of you. But of course, we do appreciate both of your contributions to tonight's discussion. That was Professor of Political Science at Beirut University, Professor Sayed Nimr, who was speaking to us live from Ramallah. And we were also joined by the Mideast Director of the World Policy Institute, Dr. Alan Ben-Meir, who was joining us live from New York. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.